the greatest hope imaginable to people today. John chapter 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, he being Lazarus here. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he left Martha with a question that I'm going to ask you today that's here sitting still and those who are at home listening. He said, "Do you believe this?" I want to show you a few things this morning before we dive right into the message about Martha. Martha had a fundamental faith. We see it right there plain as day. Jesus made a striking declaration. He made it clear as crystal. He said, "Your brother, Martha, will rise again." He could have said it no clearer. Lazarus was to arise from the dead, but Martha misunderstood that. Martha misunderstood. She thought Jesus meant that Lazarus would arise in the resurrection day, in the last day. She believed in the resurrection, which is one of the fundamental beliefs of the faith. She believed what Jesus had been teaching, but Martha's fundamental faith experienced disappointment. The promise of a future resurrection and a promise of a future reunion is not always a comfort to some people. Today, when we're in the funeral homes and we try to be a comfort to people, and especially we know that the person who's went on to be with the Lord, we didn't lose a loved one. We know where they're at. They're in heaven. And we try to comfort the person by saying things like this. "Well, it's not goodbye, it's just so long for now. One day you'll be with them again." And those are promising words. Those are words of hope. But Martha, like a lot of people today, she heard those words, but it didn't do her any good for the present time. Her loved one was gone. There was now no contact and no relationship with him, at least not on this earth. Everything about her was now completely changed. Think about it. Her household was radically different. There was an empty chair where he used to sit. She believed in the resurrection and believed in all the fundamentals of the faith, but the resurrection was so far in the future that it was no present help to Martha. The point is this: a fundamental faith is essential. We talk about things that are essential and non-essential today. Fundamental faith is essential. A person must believe in the fundamentals of the faith, but a fundamental faith is not all there is. A fundamental faith will end up being short. It's not all there is to faith and to our life with Christ. It's not a living faith. It's not a faith that lives in the presence of Jesus. And what's so desperately needed by man today in 2020 is the same thing that Martha needed then, and it was a living faith. A faith that is alive and vibrant. A faith that is dynamic and moving. A faith that is conscious and acting. A faith that is communicating and fellowshipping. What is needed is the knowledge that Jesus, the very one who stands before you and I today, is the resurrection and the life. This is why we celebrate today. This is why we can find hope in hopeless situations. We also see Jesus' great claim. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." here's a critical fact. Notice with me. Jesus did not say that he gives the resurrection and life to a man. He didn't say that at all. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus does give the resurrection and life to believers, but his point here goes beyond that. His point is far more important. Jesus declared that he is the very being and essence, the very power and energy of life. So, Jesus can give and he can sustain life as he wills. He can resurrect and restore life as he chooses. Notice Jesus' great promise. He said, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. He lives in the other world, heaven, the spiritual dimension of being, in the presence of God himself. The believer who has passed from this world, I want you to know this morning, is not in some semi-conscious state, in some locked up compartment, and they're not in a deep sleep, they're not floating around on a fluffy cloud. No, they're in the presence of Almighty God today. The believer is fully alive. He is alive in heaven, in the other world, in the very presence of God himself. Can you imagine today? They're rejoicing in heaven today. They can rejoice every day, amen? Right there in the presence of God Almighty, where you and I will be someday. You need to remember that another world does exist besides this world. It's not a world that lies out there in the future. It's a world that exists now, today. It's a spiritual world, a spiritual dimension, a world that the Bible calls heaven. It is a spiritual world and dimension where God and Jesus and angels and all those who have gone before us who believe that Jesus was the Son of God and accepting him as Savior are living today. The point is this. When a person who has believed in Jesus dies, he goes to live in heaven, in the spiritual world, where God and Jesus and the heavenly host live. There's one word that sums that up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the only word that can express the hope and the joy that fills the soul of every believer. Hallelujah. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The idea is that the believer shall never taste death. That is, he's never to experience death. Think about it. Quicker than you can blink an eye, he passes from this world into the next world. Wrap your head around that just for a moment. Quicker than a blink of an eye, passes from this world to the next. He is transported and transferred into heaven. The believer never loses a single second of consciousness. One moment he is conscious and living in this world, the next moment he is conscious and present in the next world. Make sure you get this today. Receiving eternal life is conditional. It is conditional. A person must believe, the Bible says. It is he who believes and whoever lives and believes that lives and never dies. It is Jesus. As Jesus asked Martha, he said, do you believe this? If a person believes Jesus, he shall never die. He shall live forever. If the preacher has a task on Easter morning, I'm going to tell you what it's not. The preacher's task is not to convince his congregation of the resurrection. Now, why would you say that? Because after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to all his disciples, did he not? They saw him. They spoke with him. They talked with him, David. But Thomas was absent when this all took place. And when the good news was told, Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas doubted. Thomas demanded proof for his own eyes. So quite frankly today, if Peter, James, and John and the rest of the disciples could not convince Thomas, then the preacher should be under no illusion today in the few moments that I have to be with you at home and here that I can convince you. But I tell you what I can do. I can confront you today with what I believe is Easter, Resurrection Sunday's bottom line question. Do you believe this? Did you know the resurrection, our Jesus rising from the dead? Did you know that's what separates our Lord from 1,000 other gurus and prophets? Their grave's not empty. Jesus's is. There's a beautiful old story about a Sunday school teacher who asked the children in his class to bring something inside of a little plastic egg next Easter Sunday and fill it with something that symbolized the meaning of the resurrection. The day came and the teacher took the child's eggs and he opened each one of them one at a time, and he made a point that reinforced Easter's meaning. One child had a tiny flower, and the teacher spoke of new life that springs forth at Easter. Another egg contained a picture of Jesus, so the teacher talked about that. Another one had a small nail, and the point was made about the nails on the cross. Another one had a little round pebble in it, signifying the stone that had guarded the tomb. But the teacher was confused when he opened the egg of a 7-year-old boy by the name of Brian, who was mentally challenged, and he found nothing. But not to worry, Brian himself spoke up and said, "It's full of emptiness. It's full of emptiness, just like the tomb of Jesus. His was the best lesson of all." Easter's bottom line question today drives any responsible here to either accept Jesus as for what he is and who he is, or to reject Jesus. Our text this morning finds us in Bethany. The Lord is standing at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, and he makes an astonishing claim. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die," John 11, 25 and 26 says. Then he looks right into their faces as he looks into our hearts today, and he asks Easter's bottom line question, do you believe this? You'd be amazed at how many people try to avoid this question through life. First of all, I want you to see today that a relationship with Jesus is personal. It is personal. Perhaps the Lord put the emphasis on the word "you" when he asked this question to drive home the point. After all, when it comes to the saving faith and the finished work of Christ, this is what matters most. Not what your mother believes, not what your grandmother believes, not what your granddaddy believes, but what do you believe? It's a personal relationship. I've had people before, you lead them to the Lord and you tell them how to be saved, and you got to be careful because they'll say, "Hey, Gary saved me." Gary didn't save nobody. Gary couldn't even save himself. All I did was show you how to be saved. I showed you God's word and you accepted the gift, but you had to do it personally. I couldn't do it for you. I could speak for every pastor today that thought anything at all about his flock, that I would just love to go like this. "You're all saved. Every one of you saved right now. Boom, there you go. We're all going to be in heaven. Now let's just go on and start rejoicing now." But the truth is, I can't do that. I can't do that. Don't rely on someone else's faith to get you into heaven. I've known people who have virtually lived their lives on what someone else believed, as though they would eventually benefit by some sort of spiritual transfer. Easter's bottom line question this morning is personal. Jesus claimed to be the resurrection and the life, and Jesus is still asking today. He's still asking, "Y'all believe this?" Not only is it personal, it's pointed. Pointed. Perhaps when our Lord asked this question in Bethany, he put added emphasis on the word "believe." After all, faith is the acceptable response to the Christian gospel. Notice what he was not doing. He was not inquiring here, of his hearers as to whether they were giving intellectual agreement to his claims. What he wanted to know was if they would trust in him and take him by his word by faith. You see, it's one thing today to know about the gospel story in our head. It's another thing completely different to know in our heart. The real issue on this Easter morning is, do you believe this? Have you transferred your trust from yourself and from your own works and from your own good things that you think you've done to Jesus Christ alone? Has this saving faith, this resurrected life, this Christ in me experience, has it made a difference in your life? Well, it better. I'm a firm believer that a faith that can't change you can't save you. Hey, listen, I know He saved me, He changed me. People like, oh, He don't act the same. He don't talk the same. He don't do the same stuff. No. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:17, Pastor Sims, who's gone on to be with the Lord in heaven now, when he preached that message that night, I went to him, I told him, I said, brother, it was like nobody was here but me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. Oh, I started looking inside my heart. Wasn't nothing new. I played the game. I faked out a lot of people. Always remember this. You may fake out the pastor, but you'll never fake out the master. There should be a change. If you can't look over your life in the past and see no difference, there's a problem. Because he starts on the inside, working and cleaning up the heart. And then it comes through to the outside. So it's personal, it's pointed. And number three, it is precise. So now we come to the heart of the issue here. For true faith must rest on objective truth. It may be that the Lord Jesus asked Easter's bottom line question with his emphasis placed on the last word, this. Do you believe this? Notice the context. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Immediately on the heels of this incredible testimony comes Easter's greatest question. Do you believe this? Do you believe his claim about his deity? Do you believe he is who he says he is? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. When he used the phrase, I am, it captured the attention of all those standing around. Matter of fact, seven times this I am affirmation is recorded in John's gospel. The most fundamental belief of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ is God himself. You want to know today if you're standing on solid ground with your beliefism in Jesus Christ? Does your belief, does your religion, does your doctrine say that Jesus is the Son of God? That Jesus is God? Martha answered this question immediately. She said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So let me ask you this morning before going farther, who is he to you today? Who is Jesus Christ to you today? Well, preacher, he's just a figure out of history. He's the subject of a sentimental story in my children's book. Or maybe you can say like Martha today, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. What about his claim about death? He said, though he may die, boy, many people live their lives in total denial of their coming appointment with death. I know when I was in my mid-20s, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I thought I was never going to die, and anything you dared me to do, I'd do it. My mind had not grown like it should have. When my daddy said, you're acting like somebody with a half a brain, he was right. Because only later in years I found out that the brain doesn't fully develop until you're after your mid-20s. I thought, man, my dad is smarter than I thought he was. But I just never thought about death. I never took it for granted that when we was out four-wheeling and there was a hill like that, and they say, "Hey, Chesser, you going to go up that one and see how steep it is?" "Yeah, I'll take it." And I'd hit that hill wide open, never thinking about what could have happened. Jesus said that one of the facts of life is you're going to die. Oh, I know you didn't tune in this morning, Easter Sunday morning, to hear that. But listen, you don't have to be old to die. I've preached babies' funerals. And you may be saying, "Yeah, preacher, but you don't know me. You don't know me. I eat healthy and I jog." Well, I'm here to tell you today that you could die jogging to the health food store. I ran 7 miles yesterday, rode my bike 5 miles, and I could die before this service is over today. None of us can stop the fact that we're marching toward the grave. Death is our final enemy. Death is the real common denominator amongst all men. If you do not believe it, you just pick up a paper. For those of you who still read the paper, I still read the paper. Marcus back there, I asked him about a paper. He said, "What are you talking about?" But if you could pick up a paper, and on the society page, you will read about only one class of people. In the business section, you will read about those who excel in various professions. In the sports section, you will read about those who are athletically gifted. But on the obituary page, it's totally different. On the obituary page, everyone is listed side by side, usually in a cold alphabetical order. The rich and the poor side by side. The talented and the not so gifted side by side. The famous and the not so famous side by side. See, death knocks on the door of the billionaire as well as the peasant. He comes to the mansion as well as to the cottage. Death is man's common denominator. Boy, here's a sobering statement. Have you ever thought about the gas that's in the hearse at the funeral home? Could be the fuel that takes your body to the graveyard. Could be. See, there's a lot of books out there on the bestseller list that tell us how to live each day, but there's only one book that tells us how to die. It ain't but one book that tells us how to die. Easter's question is not just personal and pointed, it's precise. Centuries ago, Amos chapter 4, verse 12, he thundered down his warning. He said, "Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God." You ever think about we prepare for everything in life? Your medical doctor, be it male or female, did not just get up one morning and hang out a sign and started their practice. I hope they didn't. Years of study, years of preparation and planning went into that. We prepare for our children's education. We prepare for those who would maybe gain the insurance policy. We prepare on who's owned that to get the inheritance. My soul, have you ever seen a deer hunter prepare for deer season? Have mercy. Everything but the kitchen sink, going to the woods with them. They prepare. But far too few people prepare to meet God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." I've heard this verse quoted quite a few times during this pandemic. Preacher's appointed a man once to die. When it's my time, it's my time. Hey, let me just ask you this. I believe that. I believe it's an appointment you ain't going to be late for. But I also believe this. There's a thing called common sense. I'll prove it to you. You say that about the pandemic, about this virus, but when you get in your car, don't you put on your seatbelt? When you get on your boat, do you use a life jacket? Most people get up, they pack a pistol, pray, but be prepared. Isn't it foolish to spend all of our time and all of our energy on this life today. This life is not all there is. Praise God. Because this ain't much. The older I get, the less the world has to offer me. I'm just saying, we should be preparing for the future. Every one of us has an appointment with death. Like I said, you don't want to hear that this morning. What about his claim about destiny? He said, he shall live. It's strange how so many people live their lives today, as if this was all there is. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Jesus indicates here that even through death, even though death is sure, we are all going to live again. Every person under the sound of my voice is going to live again somewhere. Heaven, hell, no middle ground. Heaven or hell will take on every person that's listening today. The body will die. Yes, you're right, but not the spirit. Do you believe his claim that even though we may die, we would live? In fact, live again. Some of us today struggle against the thought of death in the same way and with the same ignorance. Why? Because we don't understand Easter's bottom line question today. The real question for many of us on this Easter morning is, what are we going to do with that part of us that's going to live forever? What are we going to do with that? Many don't want to think about that on Easter morning. Sadly, few churches in the Western world ever confront their hearers with Easter's bottom line question due to this feel-good culture we're in. Well, preacher, you got to tell them stuff and make them feel good. You got to have a feel-good preaching style. Hey, I can feel good and be saved. And you're going to feel the best when you get saved. Do you believe this? His claim about his deity, I am the resurrection and the life. His claim about death, he who believes in me, though he dies. His claim about destiny, he shall live. Last point, his claim about deliverance. He said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The Lord's making it very plain here, very plain. I'm country and I get it. Eternal salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone and not through any works of human effort. And notice whoever lives and believes, he said, whoever lives, that's the key word here, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Faith is only possible this side of the grave. When they throw the dirt on you, it's too late. Faith is only an opportunity for you to be saved this side of the grave. When you get buried, when you die, it's too late. Your destiny is sealed. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of those people who would make their appeal after this life. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. Eternal life can be ours in this life now and through faith in him alone. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is a day of decision. When we are confronted with this bottom line question. So I wonder today, will you continue just to tip your hat to Jesus at Easter and Christmas? Or will you face this question today with seriousness? You know, just like Jesus died on the cross and rose again one day, all these bodies out here in the cemetery will be resurrected. That's the power of my God. Do you believe that He is Lord this morning, that you will one day die, that you will live again somewhere, and that if you put your trust and faith in Him alone, you will inherit eternal life? So who is Jesus to you today? Who is Jesus to you today? Now, I know from my church family that they've heard me do this before, but we got a lot of folks that's never heard it. I've got a list of things that Jesus is to me. And it's quite long, but that's all right. Where else are you going to go? You in solitary confinement, ain't you? So you just sit there and listen. How about that? I'm going to tell you what Jesus is to me today. And as I go through this list of things that Jesus is to me today, for those of you that's even here, sitting down right here in the congregation this morning, and for those of you at home, when I come across something on this list that pertains to you and your walk with Jesus, when I say He is the great healer and He's healed you of something, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up here only when you hear something that pertains to what He's done for you. I want your kids, parents, to see you stand up for Jesus this morning. You ready? Listen closely. Here we go. It's times like this, I'm glad I don't smoke. Jesus, here's what He is to me, William. He is the beginning, He is the ending. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Creator of all things, the Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come. He is the Helper, the Physician, the Healer, the Refiner, the Purifier, the Master, the Servant, the Example, the Teacher, the Keeper, the Feeder, the Leader, the Restorer, the Resting Place, the Passover, the Peace, the Wisdom, the Sanctification, the Redemption, the All in All, the Upholder of all things, the Everlasting Father, the First and the Last, the Life, the Eternal Life, the Son of the Living God, the Only Begotten Son, the Firstborn of every creature, the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Blessed, His the Secret. He is wonderful. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of glory. He is the same. He is the great I Am. I am the resurrection and the life. He is the Word that was with God, that Word that was God, the Word of life, the Word made flesh, the image of the invisible God, the Sovereign King, Providential Lord, the Prophet, Priest, and King. He is the Wisdom of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain, the Good Shepherd, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He is the Gate. He is the Branch. He is the Vine. He is the Bread of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Light, the Great Morning Star. We're just getting warmed up, folks. The Son of Righteousness, the Rock of Ages, the Builder, the Foundation, the Chief Cornerstone, the Elector of the Elect, the Author of Salvation, the Temple, the Sanctuary, the Veil, the Altar, the Offerer, the Offering, the Sacrifice, the Ransom, the Great High Priest, the Truth, the Amen, the Holy One, the Commander, the Deliverer, the Lion of Judah, the Shield, the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace, the King of Glory, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, woo! And the returning groom. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And He is the resurrection and the life. He is why we celebrate this day known as Resurrection Sunday. Oh boy. Any day is a good day to get saved. Amen? Any day is a good day to get saved. But how special today is that we celebrate this day of our risen Savior. Well, preacher, you've kind of got my interest. What I got to do to be saved? Well, it's pretty simple. We make it a lot harder than it is, but it's pretty simple. First of all, you have to admit that you're a sinner. That shouldn't be hard for any of us, should it? I mean, really. I know there's some people out there that think they never do nothing wrong. But first of all, you got to quit lying to yourself. You got to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ died a horrific death on the cross. They did not murder Jesus Christ. Jesus willingly gave His life on the cross for you. His blood was not spilled. He didn't spill His blood, because when you spill something, that's by accident. His blood was shed on purpose. Why? To pay your sin debt and my sin debt. And if I had been the only person on the face of the earth, He would have done it just for me. But the truth is, He did it for the entire world. And He wishes that no man would be lost. He desires for all men to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic. I'm talking about being a Christian. I pray you at home have got this settled. I pray as you are around your children, maybe the children are saved and you've never been. I pray today that the Holy Spirit has brought this message to your heart today. For such a time as this. You know, out of everything that we can't do, one thing that nobody can stop us from doing is worshiping the Lord. Nobody can stop us from that. This isn't interfering with our relationship with Jesus. If anything, it should be driving us closer. All the time you'd be watching sports, you can read the Bible now. So if you have questions today, beyond what I've just said, admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, confess Him Lord of your life. What's that mean? He's the boss, I'm not. I'm going to tell you right now, I never was much of a good boss over Gary Chesser. But you got to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? If you have questions today about being saved, please let us know. And we've added this to the number on the screen that you can text the word saved. Just text the word saved to the number on the screen, or you can use the number to call in to talk to somebody. We've got pastors on standby right now. Boy, it would really make our day. It would really make our day to hear somebody say yes to Jesus today. Yes to Jesus today. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward at this time. As you at home are praying, as we here are praying, you know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, He's with us. Well, I got more than two here. Not many more, but I got two. And I know we've got a lot of viewers today. And I just pray right now that each Christian would pray like you've never prayed before, because there's a spiritual warfare going on today. There's homes that this is meeting and coming to today, that somebody in that home needs to be saved. And it may not even be in the state of Kentucky. But today, if you have questions, please get those questions answered. Make this the best Resurrection Sunday that you've ever had. Maybe for the first time you understand Resurrection Sunday and what it's all about. We're praying for you right now. You do as the Lord leads, as your musicians play.